Welcome to End Time Chronicles podcast with Brother Eben. This podcast discusses issues regarding the end times and the things unfolding and things about to unfold. We are living in very uncertain times and information is very critical these days. You can download or listen to this podcast on spiritissues.info. Now, let's join today's edition.
These are the end of days, what the Bible says about the day of the Lord. And the whole world shake with the big earthquake when he returns. Could be a nuclear war, what the prophet saw, till you wonder where your help come from. Look up, your redemption draw near. Come the man of peace, come the mark of the beast, the tribulation. Don't you be surprised when the Antichrist give a deception. And you see nation rise against nation, abomination of the desolation. Look up, your redemption draw near. When he draws near, he will wipe away your tears. When he draws near, he'll give you faith, kick all your fears. Look up, your redemption draws near.
Edition, I want to talk about some things which seems the church is really not looking at carefully, not even thinking about it or even discussing it. It's basically about three major activities or groupings of things which we should be mindful of and be prepared for. Put it that way, you know. We all know we are living in very interesting times and things are just getting off gradually. You know, it depends on where you find yourself, especially if you are in a country like Ghana. It's so easy to feel that nothing really is happening in the world because we tend to have more of a stable system. You know, life is going on normally. Can easily be deceived that, well, things are fine, nothing is happening, nothing is coming, life will go on as we've known it and all. But as believers, we should see things from a different perspective. We should be led by Bible prophecy. We should be led by ongoing prophecies that the Lord is revealing through the prophets and non-prophets as well. As well as we should be informed by the goings on, what's happening in the rest of the world relative to what the Bible talks about. And we should be aware of the timing, and put it in our way. Because sometimes we seem to be off the timing. We are not really aware of what is happening, and we think we are comfortable with it, so what's the big deal? Alright, so let me categorize it in three major things, the first we talk about is persecution is coming. And for those who've been listening to my radio program, Issues of Life, we said a lot about it last year, earlier this year, and all that. You know, most Christians will think, nothing is coming, why is there us? Why, tell us the doom, gloom and doom, something bad is coming and all that. But we can't run away from the facts that are in the Bible, and this is when Jesus spoke about it. And the reason is, if you look at the trend of what is happening worldwide, not every country, of course, but persecution statistics are increasing in various countries. Christians are gradually being pushed to deny their faith, or be killed, or be jailed, or lose their jobs. I mean, things are happening. Even in countries where civilized, sort of developed, Western democratic countries, and all, Christians are feeling the brunt of having to make choices based on their faith, because of your faith, you are losing this, or you are not going to get this privilege, or you have to change your faith, change your beliefs, so you can have your freedom. Persecution is on, even in the US, it's happening. You see Christians being asked to change their speech, not to talk about this. It's happening in various ways, even on social media. You see something that goes against the narrative of the liberal world. You are clamped down, your page is closed. Lots of Christian groups, or pastors, or individuals have had their pages closed, suspended, terminated. YouTube closing channels of Christian groups, which they seem that no, these ones are not in line with what we believe. You know, it's just a matter of time. Christian content will not be welcomed on these platforms. So there is this clamp down, there is this subtle way of pushing God out of the scene. I mean, you can easily think, but nothing is happening, because you have not experienced it, you've not seen it, or you've not been monitoring it, so you think nothing is happening. A lot is happening, even in the media space, a whole lot is happening regarding Christian content. And these are just signals. But the broader issue is, let's get into the Bible, Matthew 24. Let's read some 4 verses, 9 to 13. 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So, delivering you up to be afflicted, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. The hatred is because of you being a Christian. The fact that you bear the Christ-like religion, you are a believer, you stand for Christ, you believe in God, and all that. That is where the hatred is going to be targeted at. And you see, this issue of persecution, it's so uncomfortable for most believers to hear, because that's not what we've been told years gone by. And so we find it strange to accept it. But the truth is, we cannot run away from something that is going to happen. Obviously, incidentally, it's already happening in some countries. Some people are in jail now in some countries because they are Christians. Some people are being ejected from their homes is villages in part of India and part of Asia places. Some people have lost jobs, have lost their farms because they are Christians. People have been ostracized, people have been, abused in their families and all. These have been happening for years, yes. But the numbers are increasing. But the fact that it will happen in every nation, we shall be hated in all nations. We've not gotten to that part yet, but this discussion is talking about things coming. And we are getting to that point where Christians are going to be hated in every nation. And you see, this is where the rubber hits the road. People don't want to hear it. Jesus is not talking of something that is after his coming. This is before he comes. I mean, if you read it clearly, Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, 13, up to 13, the rapture hasn't happened. So these are things before he comes. So for those who have been told that, you escape, nothing bad is coming, and all that, that's the reason why I'm talking about this, that we should be ready for what is coming. You see, when you know something is coming, in your mind, you are able to, it may be difficult, it may be very harsh and all, but psychologically, when you know it is coming, your perception of it, or how you perceive it, or how you endure it, and all, is different. Because at least you are not surprised. Consider the fact that you've not been told something is coming. You don't know anything is coming. And then suddenly, you are caught off guard. The shock and the surprise and the disappointment are so strong that, this is where the love of many begin to wax cold. They've been told nothing good, nothing bad is coming. So, if you look at the verse 10, it says, and then shall many be offended. Who's going to be offended are the Christians, not unbelievers. In this context, Jesus is talking of Christians. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, or shall rise, and shall deceive many. When it comes to these things, the numbers are worrying many. Many false prophets, many shall be deceived when Jesus talks of these end time scenarios. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So, we are really headed towards terrible days. The hatred from the world, of course, that's there. But even believers are going to betray one another, they are going to fall out of the faith. Going to be bitter against those who are able to stand what is coming and be able to endure. Because if he has failed, why are you standing? That alone brings hatred. Because it's like, if I'm not going to heaven, why do you want to go to heaven? A lot is coming in various ways, but you see, I'll get into the point as to what is really going to precipitate this, or really what is going to push this thing to the limits. And the fact that we think nothing is coming is the first error. So we are not prepared psychologically, emotionally, physically, and ultimately spiritually. Because the fact that these things were given as warnings by Jesus means the end time generation should be prepared for these things when they come. But you don't wait for it to come before you prepare. Preparation means pray. It's before the thing, the preparation should be before the event. So you don't wait to tune your instruments in the midst of the concert. No. You do your tuning before the concert. Likewise, the preparation for the times ahead should be when times are normal, not when times are abnormal before you prepare for it. I mean, how do you prepare in the midst of a storm? The preparation should be before the storm. And that's the little encouragement regarding this thing, because you see, it is coming. We can pretend to be ostriches and put our heads in the sand as if, oh, nothing is coming, because your pastor says nothing is coming. The truth is, it is coming, and it is closer than we think. Yes, it is closer than we think. And these are the realities we have to confront ourselves with, psychologically, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. By building our feet, this is the time to start building our feet. Because if you are not grounded in what is coming, you are not grounded in preparation for what is coming, the storm will sweep you off your feet. It will sweep us off our feet if you are not prepared. Because we will not be ready for it. And a lot of situations are going to compound into making this thing a reality, in the sense that it's one of the points that I'll get to as well, like the third point. But for the fact that we should psychologically, emotionally, physically, spiritually condition ourselves that persecution is coming, and as believers, sooner than later, we are going to have to make a choice and a decision, either to stay in Christ, hold on to our faith, despite all the consequences, or compromise and have our freedoms and enjoy life. Then the second major thing that is coming, very sad that very few pastors are talking about it. So Ghana, there is like, you can virtually single out the men of God who are even preaching and preparing and talking about this. The revival, the last days. Believe it or not, that is also coming. And it started in some countries in various ways. Some small tent meetings, and it's growing gradually. And it is very unfortunate that most are not ready for it. Most are not even talking about it. You see, because you are not ready and talking about it, you will not even know and prepare for it. And this is also something that we should be prepared for and be preparing for, in terms of making ourselves agents of the revival that is coming. Because we should be part of it, or else we will miss it out, miss out of it. And this comes with prayer and living ways that can be used, the Holy Spirit to use us to be part of the wave that is coming, the final wave, the outpouring of the Spirit. You know, the whole essence of the revival is not an entertainment, no. It's for preparation of the bride before Christ comes. That's the whole essence of it. Because you and I know, if we are sincere with ourselves, the state of the church today is nowhere near ready for going to heaven. In terms of being ready for heaven, the standard of meeting Christ, the average church is not ready for it. But it is this revival and this outpouring through the message of God that will prepare the bride for his coming. So, in as much as, yes, persecution days are also ahead, so would the revival be coming. You see, it is when we are pressed that we really tend to God the more. And you see, so these are the interesting things. See, when it comes to the end time, God has his own plan, and he knows what is best. He knows what would achieve the maximum output of souls into heaven. And you see, the revival is necessary because souls will have to be swept into the kingdom in the last days as well. It is worrying that as people are falling away, many will be falling away and leaving the feet due to difficulties, persecution, difficult times, disappointments in God, pressure from the system, and all. We are going to have an influx of souls also coming in. And that is where it's, you know, if you read Joel 2:28 and Acts chapter 2, let me quickly read it. Joel 2:28 says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." Now take note of the verse 31. "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Whosoever, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, the remnants whom the Lord shall call." But see, verse 31 is what qualifies it to the fact that it is this pouring out of the Spirit is going to precede the great and terrible day of the Lord. So before he comes, this is going to happen. And also, for those who think, oh yes, the rapture can happen to be suddenly, you know, until we see this, the rapture cannot happen. Because this, the outpouring has to happen before the great day of the Lord. This outpouring has not happened in the world. That's what happened in Acts, the book of Acts. That was just the beginning of it. That was not, because if you read the book of Acts well, the things that Joel prophesied, it was just a partial fulfillment there. People did not dream dreams there. People did not have visions there. It was purely speaking in tongues and the pouring of the Holy Spirit. So clearly, this Joel 2 prophecy was not fulfilled fully in Acts chapter 2. And actually, if you get into Acts chapter 2, Peter quoted it, yes. And verse 16, and it says, "And this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So, Peter, in Joel 8. And actually, just to let them know that yes, there's going to be a move of the Spirit, and you see, the last day started right from when Jesus left. The countdown began technically. So, but this major outpouring, the full fulfillment of it, is going to happen before the notable day of the Lord, before Christ comes. This is when the final move is going to happen. So we are headed towards that because it has to happen before Christ comes. And this is also to ensure that people come into the kingdom. What we have to be careful of as believers is that we don't miss out on this, because in the midst of what is coming in the world, in terms of, by the time when I finish the next point, you understand what I mean, that the whole package of what is coming, the persecution, the events and all that, we should not lose our faith and leave the faith, because it is going to be sad that you've been a Christian for all these years, and when it matters most, you fall out. And then the outsiders, those who have not been Christians, are rather going to come in the numbers. And this is where this verse sometimes is a bit worrying, but it's the word of God, that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. We have to be careful we don't fulfill that part of scripture, because You can start a race, but finishing is the real big deal. Sometimes I cite this example, my program of marathon race, where, you know, in Accra, when the low marathon, those times, because of COVID last year, it wasn't that. But those times when low marathon was being done, a few times, which I happened to see, because they come and pass around my area at a point. And you see the video of the starting point at Lungwa, and then running 26 miles or so, coming to Dansoman, to be passing through the various streets in Accra and all that. And when they start, you see the vim and the eagerness and the zeal of hundreds of people. And it's like, you see them running speed. But when they are getting towards the finishing point, passing through, finishing through Matayeko to Dansoman and all that, the movement is in trickles. You see one person, and then a whole minute or two, nobody, then you see one person again. The numbers dwindle when it's getting to the end. So starting, yes, you can start well, but the capacity to finish is the real deal. So a lot of the people start the marathon, and some don't finish. And they have an ambulance and cars following, so that's like when you give up, you just sitting, see, so let's liken it to a Christian walk, because you can start well, but we may fall out and leave the faith due to circumstances that will choke us out of the race. And this is why this discussion is to encourage us that it's going to be rough as the times go by, but we should ensure that we hold on firmly. Whatever we can hold on to, Christ, the cross, hold on firmly, because lest we leave the faith when it matters most. And that's going to be one of the most painful things, that you were once a Christian, but you couldn't make it at the end. So we have to ensure that we have to stand firm and hold on to our faith, hold on to our beliefs, because these are the times to encourage ourselves towards that. Because, you see, we've had a comfortable Christian life virtually. I mean, in Ghana, elsewhere, most people listening to this are in these countries where, persecution is not part of. So, virtually, we've had a comfortable Christian life growing up and all that. But we have to conscientize ourselves that it will not last forever. In terms of a safe environment, a friendly, Christ-like or Christian nation, quote unquote Christian nation, wherever you find yourself, especially, you know, in Ghana, we call ourselves a Christian nation, doesn't reflect on the ground. But we are safe as Christians to practice our faith and our beliefs and all. But we should start reminding ourselves that it's not going to last forever. And that's the reason why we have to adhere to what the Word of God says and start preparing. Yes, the revival is coming, and it's coming strong. It's going to happen. But the fact that it's going to happen does not mean you will be part of it, because if you don't allow yourself to be part of it, the Holy Spirit is not going to be forcing anyone, you know? It's a willing thing. You have to be willing to be part of. And the fact that your pastor is not saying it does not mean it's not going to happen. No, it is going to happen. And as I said, it has started happening gradually. I mean, in parts of California, some parts, some tent meetings, people are just getting saved by the numbers. The whole essence of this is to bring people in, souls to be saved. And, you know, one church baptized hundreds of people within a week, thousands, and, you know, it's happening. But people are not hearing about it that much unless you follow some of these events, news and all that. Christian news, I mean. Of course, the secular news, soon they will start talking about it. And the strange things start happening, the overflows, the miracles, the wild things start happening, the media cannot be silent. We'll get there. But now it's just the beginning of things. Even in Ghana, I've heard of a few instances where, I mean, strange things are happening in some churches, you know, move just uncontrollable and all that. So the major one is coming. And I think due to the time, I'll just end this one, this episode. In the next episode, I'll talk about the next major thing that we should be looking at and preparing ourselves for. And then as to why we should be preparing, let me end this edition here. Thank you for listening to this one. You can get more podcasts from SpiritIssues.info.